Thank you very much for your prayers and generosity. Yours in Christ, Chris, Joe, and Annie. And we very much appreciate that note from those who were at Greece last year. Let us turn to the book of Ruth now. We're turning to Ruth, and we're turning to Ruth chapter 1. And we're going to read from the verse number 6. Ruth chapter 1, and we're reading from the verse number 6. We have here a picture of three widows. Naomi, and she of course is a mother, but a mother who's lost her sons. I think it's appropriate that God has brought us to the character of Ruth today, on Mother's Day. And we have our two daughters-in-law who also are widows, Orpah and Ruth. And Naomi's going to make the journey from Moab back to her people in Bethlehem. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons. Would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. Amen. We know that God will add his own blessing to the reading of his inspired and infallible word. Let us seek the Lord for prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of our Savior. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for this beautiful character in Ruth. That you would be with us as we ponder this lady today, that we'll hear the Lord speaking to us and calling us through her life and faith. And so we pray that you'll be with us now. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. And amen. The book of Ruth is remarkable in that it contains a beautiful story of love and faithfulness during the days of the judges. And you will see in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, we are told, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled." Now the era of the judges was a time of departure from God. It was a time of sin. And it was a time of apostasy. It was a time of backsliding. It was a time of judgment. It was a time, we are told, when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But during these years, however, God did something rather special in the life of one family. But the person who would be the means of bringing blessing to this family was not a member of the seed of Israel. But this woman called Ruth, who came from Moab. And that is a most surprising circumstance, because the Moabites were pagans. The Moabites were, at times, the enemies of God's people. And the Moabites were the children of the curse. But yet this young woman from Moab, she brought such blessing to this family. She brought such blessing to Israel. And she brought such blessing to the world. And that is no understatement. This is a story of romance, but it is also a story of redemption. Someone once called the book of Ruth the romance of redemption. That is exactly what it is. Because we see love here, but we also see the Savior. We see natural love, but we also see the Christ of God. It's a heartwarming book in what were the most turbulent and the most difficult of times. You see, the Bible is not just a book of the grand histories of nations, of wars and of conquering. It's not just a book full of grand and wonderful literature, poetry, and sublime theology. It is all of that. It is also a book about people, about homes, about families, about individuals. Because it's a book that shows us that God cares for every individual. And that is so today, as we think about our homes and our families and our needs. There is no circumstance that is outside the control of God. This is Mother's Day, and every mother has cares and desires and wishes and prayers and silent hurts. But there's a God who cares. And we see that wonderfully worked out, particularly in Naomi's life, but it all came about through Ruth. And Naomi could never have begun to understand how God would bless her through this young woman. Whenever Ruth was first married to one of her sons in the land of Moab, that was something that the Jewish people would not have accepted. In fact, it was something that was entirely and completely opposed to the law of God, that those who were Israelites should marry the Moabites. But Ruth became the daughter-in-law of Naomi. And whoever would have thought that God would work in that relationship and work in that home and work in that family and bring such blessing through Ruth. And only God could have brought that about. So often we look at situations and we wonder, how has it come to this? And then we realize God's in control. And we only see but a snapshot. But God sees the full picture. And here in the book of Ruth, we see the full picture in four brief chapters. The Bible is a book about people. It's a book about little people. It's a book about people that are not noticed by the world, but God notices them. Just as he notices you and notices me. The story of Ruth is a story of loss. It's also a story of love. It's a story of hurt, deep hurt. You see Naomi's words there when she came into the area of Bethlehem after being away for such a long time in Ruth chapter 1 and the verse 20. The people were all full of talk and gossip. Is this Naomi? Naomi's come back. She's returned after all this time away. They emigrated a few years ago, but she's back. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. The name means pleasant. Naomi means pleasant. Call me Mara. That means bitter. For the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord hath brought me home again empty. You get a sense of the hurt. A woman that had lost her husband and her two sons. And yet she had Ruth. She didn't realize the blessing that Ruth would be. It's a book of hurt, but it's also a book of healing. It's a book of the tragedy of bereavement. Bereavement and brokenness. And certainly when you read Ruth chapter 1, we should not skip over the pain that these three ladies had experienced. And we see the three of them weeping there together as Naomi is about to return. And the sobbing and the crying. In verse 9 is a story of tragedy. But it also became a story of beauty and blessing. And there are few books in the Bible as beautiful as the book of Ruth. If the book of Ruth were a play, there would be minor characters. There would be Elimelech, the husband of Naomi. There would be Mahlon, and there would be Chilion, the two sons who sadly died. There would be Orpah, one of the daughters-in-law, who returned to the land of Moab. There would be the minor characters. There would be two major supporting characters, Naomi and Boaz, who subsequently would marry Ruth. But there is a leading character, one upon whom the whole story hangs, without whom there would be no story. And that is Ruth. Because the book of Ruth was well named. It was Ruth's story. The romance of redemption. I would just like to look at some aspects of this story as they pertain to Ruth and to her character. And may the Lord be pleased to bless us as we consider these lessons. Ruth's story is first of all a story of grace. That is the one word I believe that is to the fore as we think of Ruth. She was the Moabitess. She was brought up with many gods. She knew nothing of the way of salvation or redemption. She knew nothing of Moses or the Word of God. She was cut off from the family of Israel. Was cut off from acceptance with God. But yet, she became the means of bringing Christ into the world. You look at Ruth chapter 4, and we have this wonderful picture in the verse 16 of Naomi taking the child, laying it in her bosom, becoming a nurse. She thought she would never carry a child again in her arms. It was her own flesh and blood. She thought such a thing never could have happened. And then you look at verse 17, and The woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi." They called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. And so Ruth comes into the line of the kings. David would flow from this marriage between Ruth and Naomi. And David's ancestry could go back to this Moabitess. And then you come further in your scriptures to the beginning of the New Testament and to Matthew chapter 1 and the verse 5. And there are two women here, two surprising women in the Chronicles of Christ's lineage. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. Ruth and Rahab are together here. Rahab, the harlot of Jericho, who became Boaz's mother. And Boaz became Ruth's husband. And Christ was born of that line. It's an amazing picture of grace. Because Ruth belonged to a nation that was facing death, facing the curse. A nation that had been cut off from God. Now she was brought into the family of God and joined forever to Jesus Christ. And perhaps you're here today and you're not a Christian and you're not saved. You are like Ruth. You're outside of God's people. You're outside of God's family. You're without God's grace. But you today can have God's grace. And you can come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you can know the Lord as your Savior. It's not just about being here and standing and singing the hymns, opening your Bible and reading. It's not just about having a head knowledge of these truths that we talk about every Lord's Day. It's about having Christ in your heart. And so do you have Christ in your heart today? Because the same God of grace who brought Ruth from this land of darkness to bring her in amongst the people of God, the same God that can save you and give you a new future and give you a new hope, because he's full of love and forgiveness and goodness. And so Ruth's story very much is a story of redemption. It's a story of grace. But it is also a story of generosity. Ruth gave herself in love to Naomi. She surrendered herself totally and completely and without reserve to this elderly lady. You have that set forth most clearly in those words of Ruth's, which are amongst the greatest words in the Bible. As Orpah went back, we are told that Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. Orpah loved Naomi. But she didn't love Naomi the way Ruth loved Naomi. She kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave onto her mother-in-law. You can see Orpah kissing, and there's the pain of parting, and she's moving back, but Ruth's not moving back. Ruth's holding, and she's clinging onto her mother-in-law. She's not going to let her go. And Naomi said, "Thy sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You take the same route. It's better for you. There's more for you back there." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. And where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also of aught but death part thee and me. She gave herself without reserve, completely, absolutely surrendered to Naomi. She promised unconditionally that she would give herself for Naomi until the day she died. It was a remarkable statement. It reminds me very much of what Paul taught the Romans in Romans chapter 12, and how the Church of Christ was to function in her relationship to one another. How we should function in our relationship, not only within our own families, but within the church family. And in Romans 12 and verse 10, we have those words, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another." He goes on to say in verse 13, "Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality." In verse 15, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another." A generous spirit coming from our hearts to one another within the family of God. Ruth had that spirit. But it wasn't just about words, and it must never be about words. She was willing to work. She was willing to sacrifice. She was willing to labor. She was willing to go out into the fields and gather the gleanings of the barley harvest. She would go out in the morning and she would follow the laborers until the evening came, and she would come home tired but satisfied because she was doing what she said she would do. You see, the generous spirit isn't just about words. It has to be about actions. But Ruth, who gave herself so generously, she would receive tremendous generosity in return. She sowed with faithfulness and with love, and it would come back to her. And the Lord promises in Luke 6, 36 to 38, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgiven, ye shall be forgiven. Given, it shall be given you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken down and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." And how that was fulfilled so remarkably in the life of Ruth. As she surrendered herself to Naomi and gave herself to her service, she received a husband. If she had not been out in those fields laboring and working for Naomi, she never would have met Boaz. She would never have caught Boaz's eye. Boaz was attracted to Ruth because of what she had done for Naomi. If Ruth and Naomi had never had this terrible need that they had, being left exposed to frightful poverty in the midst of their brokenness, the poverty of widows, coming home with nothing, Naomi said, if they had never experienced that, the blessing of generosity that they would receive from Boaz's hand would never have been theirs. God sometimes brings us to a place where we experience the need, the terrible need. We wonder where we're going to turn and how the need will be met. And God brings us to that place that we might experience the abundance of His goodness. Ruth had nothing to give. She had no money. But she had herself. And could we give ourselves to the service of God's people, to the service of God's work, to the service of one another, and above all, to the service of God? Can we give ourselves as Ruth did? There's a spirit of surrender, and how God will bless us. Ruth's story is not just a story of grace and of generosity, it's also a story of goodness. We are struck with how good she was. And the word good is so flippantly used. But you think of what she promised to do and how she fulfilled that promise through. But where does goodness come from? Goodness is something that comes from God. You think of the things that God is. God is light. That's His purity. God is spirit. That's His properties. He's not flesh and bone as we are. He's spirit. And yet we are also told that God is love. And the goodness that Ruth had was the goodness of love. She loved Naomi dearly. She loved her as she would love her own mother. And she was going to fulfill the duty of her dead husband to his mother. And so she clave on to this lady. The power of it all. With love came loyalty. Two things work together, don't they? We're loyal to our families because we love them. And if we love them, we'll be loyal. We should have that sense of loyalty if it is truly based on love. But if there's no love there, there'll be no loyalty. May God help us to be a loyal people, to be full of love. We're loyal to our mothers, of course we are, because we love them. They're loyal to us, and the loyalty of the mother, the love of the mother. But it all comes from God, because it is God who bequeaths this gift. That God was certainly working in the heart of Ruth whenever He gave her this spirit of love and loyalty, of goodness. But Ruth's story is also a story of gentleness. There is power in the life of this young lady because of the gentle message it brings. In Psalm 18, verse 35, we have a remarkable word. David said, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." Your gentleness, Lord, has made me great. You know, you contrast this story in the book of Ruth with the brutality of the times of the judges. Last time we thought about Samson. Samson was all brawn. At times he didn't have the brains. It was all action. But it's a story of bloodshed and of terror. A story that ends with such tragedy and brutality as well. And you read the book of the Judges and you're gripped with that. And Samson's story stands out, but the wars and the fightings and the bloodshed, and it's all there. In the midst of the days of the judges, God brings into the family of Israel this young lady, Ruth. And what gentleness in the midst of these times. But yet, her gentleness had a greater message than all of the warfare. And the bows and the arrows and the spears, the chariots, the bloodshed, there was something more powerful than the gentleness of Ruth. The most powerful force on earth is not the bullet whistling through the air. It's not the explosion of a missile. It's the power of a mother's love. And the power of love is the most powerful force on earth. Therefore, when God set about changing the world of men, He loved the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And in Solomon's great song celebrates love, He said in Song of Solomon 8, verse 6, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. The unquenchable nature of love. Amy Carmichael left Northern Ireland to go to India. She said about rescuing young ladies from abuse. She had a ministry to ladies. It was tough, hard work. But she said it was in gentle, generous, patient ways that we learned not to fear any strange land. It was God's gentleness working in her heart, enabling her to do what he did, that has left a testimony that remains to the present. You think of some of the great words of Christ, the gentleness of them. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The power of God's gentleness. And we should remember all of that. In the midst of our struggles against sin and against evil, let us not become so hard that the gentleness and grace of God does not shine through it all. But Ruth's story is also a story of gratitude, a deep and intense gratitude. There is her gratitude to Naomi. And I have been thinking about this. Why did Ruth have it in her heart to return with Naomi? Why? Why did she not go back as Orpah went back? Well, you will notice in Ruth chapter 1 and the verse 17, she said, the Lord, that's Jehovah, that's the God of Israel, that's not the God of Moab. The Lord do so to me and more also of aught but death part thee and me. Ruth, I believe with all my heart, had met with the God of Israel and Moab. And despite the fact that Naomi had suffered such hurt and had lost out with God because her and Elimelech should never have gone to Moab, yet in that old broken woman, Ruth saw something of God. Something amazing, something attractive. Beneath all of the tears and hurt that Naomi had experienced, Ruth saw down into Naomi's heart, and she saw something of God's grace. And so when Ruth was returning, she was not merely returning out of loyalty and devotion to Naomi, but she was returning out of devotion to the God of Israel. She was seeking God, as God had been working in her life. She was seeking God. Are you seeking God today? You may be in God's house, full of fears, full of hurts. Just think of the hurts that these ladies had. Samuel Rutherford said, duties are ours, events are the Lord's. We cannot control events. We cannot control them. God's in charge of all of that. But ours is the duty. Ruth saw her duty. Our duty is, as David said in the Psalm 27, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing. Ruth chose the one thing. The one thing. How God blessed her mightily. It wasn't just gratitude to Naomi, there was a gratitude to God. She would learn gratitude to Boaz, who took her as his wife. But Naomi would also be so grateful to Ruth, because Ruth became better to her than 10 sons. She learned that lesson. And Boaz would become so grateful to Ruth because she could have gone after the young men, but she went for this old man and was willing to accept his love, and he was humbled by that. But ultimately, although this is a book of gratitude, and gratitude is so important to stop along life's way and say thank you to the people who've done ever so much for us. Ungratefulness is the spirit of Satan, you know. Gratefulness is the spirit of God. But ultimately, there needs to be gratitude to God. And therefore, this ends with a praise. In Ruth 4, verse 14, the woman of Bethlehem, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. Blessed be the Lord. God worked everything out. God does work all things out. He did it in the life of Ruth and Naomi. He did it in your life and mine. For he's in the throne. And he loves us with an everlasting love. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious word.